today on Real Radio.
I know people say this all the time. You can't prove the existence of God. I've heard that so many times, and I don't know, call me dumb, go ahead, everybody does. I refuse to believe that. I believe God's existence can be proven, and Bible prophecy is that proof. Have no doubt about it.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Servant Messiah, Part 2, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. You know, the book of Isaiah does an amazing job of magnifying Jehovah God as the Holy One of Israel. It also points us towards the Messiah, Jesus, as the one who will come to deliver us. But Isaiah's final prophetic fulfillment has not yet come to pass, and that's how God will create a new heaven and a new earth, including a new Jerusalem. In part 1 of Isaiah chapter 49, we saw that from this chapter on through Isaiah 53, God begins to reveal to us that the servant Messiah is His Son, Jesus Christ. When Jesus first came to earth, His only purpose was to do God's will. The Jews, however, were waiting for a political deliverer, so they refused to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. But God did not fail in His mission. Instead, He made the way for all of us to receive His gospel of salvation. So today on day 1 of chapter 49, Pastor Jack reminds us that Jesus first came as a suffering servant, but when He returns, He'll come as the conquering king. Israel, however, rejected the scriptures of the prophets, refusing to believe that Christ is the Savior of the world. And now in his lesson called The Servant Messiah, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Come this evening, and Lord, just like last time in the opening throes of Isaiah 49, I just feel so much like we ought to take our shoes off as we approach this chapter. God, it is awesome. And so, Father, as we review and as we push on into the verses of this tremendous chapter, we ask for your anointing, not only in the teaching, Father God, but for all of us to be good students of your word. And Lord, that tonight we would leave here really challenged by your Holy Spirit. Not challenged, of course not challenged by any antics of myself or personality or anyone around us, but by your Spirit. May the things that are from you tonight be repeated in our minds tomorrow, next week, for the rest of our lives. May you call up, may you bring to us, Father, the things that are meaningful tonight that are from your Spirit. May nothing be done tonight that is not of your Holy Spirit. We ask, Father, that in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. We'll turn to Isaiah chapter 49. And if you guys were here last time together as we looked into this chapter, I made mention of the fact that from chapter 49 on to chapter 53, there is the introduction and there's the revelation of the Messiahship of God's anointed servant. And I say that in such a way that if you're Jewish tonight, maybe you're watching or you're here tonight, you've been invited and you're practicing Judaism. I frame that specifically like that because the Bible Old Testament teaches, your Old Testament teaches from Genesis to Malachi that the anointed one will be the servant and that there's two main areas of servanthood that God's anointed, God's Messiah would display. And one would be the one who would atone for the sins of not only the nation, but for the world. That's not a New Testament doctrine. That is an Old Testament doctrine. And that same servant Messiah would be the king and the leader of not only Israel, but the world. The Bible speaks of the Messiah, the Savior, coming first as the suffering servant and then the returning conquering king. And Isaiah is the book that depicts that perhaps more vividly than any other. But in our study last time together, church, in Isaiah 49, and if you weren't here, I encourage you to look at it online and catch up. But for now, we'll review a good healthy portion of it, but then we'll spend the portion, I hope, the main portion tonight of what remained. We saw in verses 1 and 2 regarding the servant Messiah is that he performs all of God's will. Whoever the Messiah is, whoever the servant of God's elect is that he would be the one that would perform the will of God. Look at verse 1, chapter 49. It says, "Listen, O coastlands, to me, and take heed, you nations from afar." So this is all the Gentile nations. Watch, look, listen. "The Lord has called me." Notice this, and it's more profound in the Hebrew. There's deity speaking here. "The Lord has called me from the womb, ordained, brought forth from the womb, from the matrix of my mother. He has made mention of my name." That's a great statement we saw last time, because it is the God of the Bible that this verse is saying has made mention of the existence, the coming forth. Listen, none other than the incarnation of one who is divine. So if you're Hebrew tonight, if you're Jewish tonight, you got to look at your highly esteemed prophet Isaiah, and he's speaking something that to this day has the rabbis a little bit in a conundrum, in a mind twist, because who he's speaking about is someone of a divine character who's called forth from the womb. How can someone be of divine character and come forth from the womb? Well, we as Christians know how that works, and we'll know more of that again tonight. But it says in verse 2, "And he has made my mouth like a sharp sword, and in the shadow of his hand he has hidden me and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver he has hidden me." And so we're speaking of the incarnation, whatever. And we're approaching this, remember last time, a little bit of skeptics tonight. Maybe you're here and you're not sure about this business about Jesus being the Messiah. Well, just entertain this for a moment. Hear the prophet Isaiah is saying that one is going to come forth, called out from the matrix of the womb of a woman. And God has ordained him to be the anointed one. This is very important, because in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, as we look into the New Testament, and again, if you're Jewish, you don't go there. I understand that. But allow me to just say that Matthew, whose last name was Levi, a good Jew, chapter 1, verse 21 says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Now, I'm not asking you to believe it. I'm just asking you to listen. That 2,000 years ago, the first gospel writer announces that his understanding was that this is none other than the fulfillment of the prophet Isaiah, and we'll get to those verses in a moment, that speaks of one who would be anointed, who would come forth, and that one would be the Savior of God's people. This is what the Bible says, and again, we're approaching it as skeptics. But he says, "The Lord has called me to this position, to this place." Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Yes, another New Testament book, but listen carefully. "So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And it was handed to him the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written." And then you look at verse 18. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." Now, at this point, church, Jesus is just reading from the prophet Isaiah. "To proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And he ended right in the middle of that verse of Isaiah. And he, it says verse 20, "Then he closed the book and he gave it back to the attendant, and Jesus sat down." Back in those days, I think it's a brilliant idea, the rabbis, the teachers, sat down to teach, and all the students stood up. We got it all messed up nowadays. I'm standing here and you sit. They change it around. It's quite awesome, though. I don't want to interrupt myself, but I guess I already am. The rabbi would sit down to teach. Listen, it was very beautiful, because when the teacher sat down to teach, everybody stood up and leaned in. Can you imagine that? Have you ever seen like when something's going on and everybody's leaning in to see what's happening? They're leaning in and they're maybe cupping their ears and they're trying to get a better look and a better sight, better sound. They're leaning in and Jesus begins to teach. Can you imagine as they're all leaning in, this is the truth bomb that he drops on them. Verse 20, then as he closed the book, he gave it back to the attendant and as all the eyes were fixed upon him in the synagogue, he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And he made this announcement that he is none other than the Messiah. Jesus Christ made that announcement. And from that moment on, his earthly ministry, public ministry, I should say, commenced. The second thing we saw last time is in verses 3-4 regarding the servant Messiah, is that he serves all who acknowledge him. That the Messiah, the servant of God, the anointed one, comes to mankind as a servant, and he serves those who acknowledge him. And that's exactly what we see in the Old and then in the New Testament. It says in verse 3, and he said to me, you are my servant, O Israel. Now, you ought to circle the word Israel if you weren't here last week. It means this. It doesn't mean Israel, the nation. It means the meaning of the name Israel, which is the prince of God. God's prince, the prince of God. He said to me, you are my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, listen to the dialogue. I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and in vain. Yet surely my just reward is with the Lord and my work with my God. Again, this is a statement, a declaration. It is in human terms God is speaking. Watch, it means this. The Messiah will come. He will serve. But by and large, he will be rejected. And predominantly, he was rejected by the Jewish leadership 2,000 years ago, but it was prophesied in Scripture that that's exactly what would happen. And we talked last time about how the Jews today, in fact, technically, I looked it up again, church, listen to this, and if you were here, you remember that in the synagogue, even up to this day, for the last 2,000 years, the rabbis do not teach their people, the congregants, much beyond the first five books of Moses. They'll embrace the first five books, and so they should. So do we. But they shy away from much of the prophets, and in some instances, do you guys remember that? And much of the verses, they don't acknowledge whatsoever at all because it's too obvious that it's speaking about the Messiah being the servant who would first come as the sacrifice for sin, and that very same servant would come a second time as the conquering king. They avoid it. And that's why today, many times you will talk to Jewish people and they don't know anything about the Old Testament prophets. They're not taught the prophets. And that's too bad. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, regarding the Messiah, it says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, God among us. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. Now, these verses is where we left off last time. You don't have these yet. You may have heard them before, but get ready to write them down. Listen to this. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. This is speaking about the revelation of the Messiah. For unto us, verse 6, look it down at verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Verse 7, and of the increase of his government and his peace there will be no end. And upon the throne of David, upon the throne of David, and over his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. In other words, this is a work of God. Nobody can stop it, okay? Now you say, well, so what? I'm Jewish and I heard that. I know that. I remember reading that somewhere. Yeah, but listen, it's the first century Jews that attributed that to Jesus, the anointed Messiah, we believe as Christians, because of the book of Isaiah. Chapter 49 begins to reveal him in terms and in ways that cannot be denied, only rejected. Even 21 centuries from his advent, it's still the same tonight. God announces, my servant, the one who will die for your sins, will come. He will serve you ultimately with his own life. He will be one who exists forever, but comes into this world as a human. He'll be born of a virgin, and he will come and serve you, ultimately, of course, by washing away your sins. So you just stop tonight and ask yourself, if you're a skeptic tonight about this, is there any stimulation in your mind about the rumor that if the prophet said that, and you've heard things about Jesus, listen, ask yourself this, is there anyone else in the world that you've ever heard in relation to these prophecies? See, well, I'll think about that. Well, also think about this. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Zechariah 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion, and shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly or humble, and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Now, if you're a Christian tonight, you go, this is boring. I already know all this stuff. You would say tonight, as a Christian, you would say, that's what happened on Palm Sunday. That's the Palm Sunday message. I recognize that. That's in Luke. That's in Matthew. That's in John's gospel. I get that. Yes, but listen, if you're Jewish tonight, you don't get that out of the New Testament. You get it out of the Old Testament, don't you? You get it right out of Zechariah. We follow Jesus because he's the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. Right now, I'm watching a fascinating series on, I think it's Amazon Prime or PBS. I don't know, but it's called The Story of the Jews. If you haven't watched it, you ought to watch it. Because I just watched the last segment where the host of the program makes fun of Jesus. He's talking with a Jewish historian, and they said, oh, this is how we know he's not the Messiah, because when he came, he didn't throw Rome off of our back. He didn't do anything. He failed. And they kind of laughed, and they moved on. And it's amazing, because it's exactly what the Old Testament said, what happened to the nation by and large, having rejected the scriptures. The reason why people reject Christ is because they reject the scriptures. Church, are you listening tonight? The very reason why you follow Christ, Jesus, is because you accept the scriptures. We're not in a club here. This is not a Christian club. We didn't where do I sign up? Tell me how to talk the talk. Tell me how to, what's the lingo? Teach me Christianese. We're not doing that. Look at us in here. We're of every color, every different background. We come from different financial, economic levels. We come from different cultures of the world. And yet we've all come here tonight carrying the same word in worship of the same God. And it's the same Holy Spirit that has brought us here tonight. Look where all you came from tonight. You came from all of your different locations. Isn't it amazing? See, well, you guys are a bunch of zombies. You're just like, no, we're not just like this. You're all here. It's amazing. On a cold, well, it's a California cold night. Middle of the week, traffic, all this stuff. And something inside of you said, I'm going to go to church tonight. Isn't it bizarre that it's bizarre. First of all, it's bizarre to me that you came. It's amazing. It's kind of miraculous if you think about it. And we're here in pursuit of a greater knowledge of God and of his love for us. It's amazing. That's why we're here. We want to know him more. You paid to get here. Think about it. You spent gas money. You came, your time, which is probably more valuable than your money, is your time. And as I walked down the East Wing hallway a moment ago, I told one of the gentlemen that were with me, I said, look at those kids. You know, there's incredibly amazing, every week, sweet teenagers, they've got to be teenagers, 12, 13, 14, 15-year-olds in there with other adults ministering, serving your little kids right now. I saw them playing. They're on their hands and knees with the little ones playing, and some of them got books open. And I told them, I said, do you realize that without those kids serving tonight, nobody could come here? Did you know that? Think about how that works. Why do we do this? We're not in a club. It's because we have been overwhelmingly convinced from the scriptures. It's, listen, the Baptist Union didn't convince us. Calvary Chapel didn't convince us. The Catholic Church didn't convince us. Some religiosity didn't convince us. The Pope didn't convince us. Billy Graham didn't convince us. It's the Word of God that has convinced us. Our faith is founded upon fact. And I know people say this all the time. You can't prove the existence of God. I've heard that so many times. And I don't know, call me dumb. Go ahead. Everybody does. I refuse to believe that. I believe God's existence can be proven. And Bible prophecy is that proof. Have no doubt about it. When God says this is what's going to happen in the future, and it happens dead on the money, that is proof. I know God's word is more true than I can trace my last name. Have you done that yet on ancestry.com or whatever it is? I'm not even sure who I am now anymore. You know, when you're growing up, people, family tell you stuff. You know, we're related to kings. You know, who knows what they tell you? And then I, in searching my name, my last name, I found out that at some point it said Guardians of the Coast. I thought, yeah, that's awesome. And then, you know, you keep researching, then you go to some other website and it's like, you know, those who take out the trash. And it's like, I think I'm going to stop this. You know, I don't know about my last name. I'm not even sure. I mean, my mom and dad said I belong to them. My mom said, I was there when you were born. I know it was you. Well, I got to take your word for it. But this I know. God says, I'm going to do this. And then he does it. And I look at prophecy and then I look at history and they completely perfectly overlap. And then I say, wow, then he's going to keep his promises that he's made to me because his word, he cannot lie. He cannot go against his own word. That's why I'm a follower. It's amazing.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Servant Messiah, Part 2. We're so glad you joined us today, and just like Pastor Jack said, God is listening. Simply give your life to Him, and He will give you the power to change. You cannot do it on your own. The Servant Messiah, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, have you downloaded Pastor Jack's Real Life mobile app yet? Be sure to do that because when you click on our media icon, there are so many resources to choose from. There's Pastor Jack's Real Life podcasts, Real Life TV, Real Life Moments, and our very own Real Radio broadcasts. You'll also get news updates, teachings that were live on location in Israel, the Happening Now episodes from Facebook Live, and real-life basics for Christian growth. Pastor Jack has also included his Bible studies on the book of Philippians, 2 Corinthians, 2 Peter, and the Isaiah series, so you've got a chance to catch up on a study you may have missed. It's all right there when you download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs mobile app for your smartphone or tablet, or simply visit our website, that's at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you need to get a hold of us for any reason, you can call us at 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And don't forget, we have other ways to connect with us, such as Facebook, Instagram, and the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. Or you can visit our website at reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click right there on our contact tab. It's real easy, and we'd be happy to get back to you. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.